Blog Talk Radio.
Into home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you, and you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. I tell you, we're looking for another wonderful day in the Lord, so I want to invite you to come along and grab your Bible and come right on in and just make yourself right at home. This is going to be another glorious, glorious, wonderful time in the Lord. And I'm so glad, yes, I'm so glad that you have joined me on today. And so let us go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we come right now in the name of Jesus and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost. We thank you for another opportunity to come and share and impart with your people. Father, we ask that the ears will be open, that the hearts will be prepared, and the ground will be fertile ground to receive the seed, that you will spring forth life within them. And God, we thank you because you're the righteous God and the Holy One of Israel. We give you praise, glory, and honor. That's due unto your wonderful and master's name. We pray, amen and amen. Well, child of God, I tell you, come on in. I know that God is getting ready to bless in a mighty and a special way. I have an exciting lesson for you on today that we're going to be talking about on today. And this is what God gave me to share with you on today. He was consumed in passion, and he did not pause. He was consumed with passion, and he did not pause. Let us again just pray. Father, we ask that you bless these tongues as a pen as a ready writer, and that you speak unto your people as we impart unto them the word that you laid in our hearts to be a blessing unto them. And God, we thank you for the glory of our Father which is in heaven. And we pray, amen and amen. I wanted to share with you just one scripture that the Lord gave unto me just to share with you in regards about his love for us today. And that's over in the book of Songs of Solomon. And I'll read it in your hearing. It said, draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more wine, the upright love thee. And so truly, it is so true that the upright love the Lord. When we begin to look at this passage of scripture, we begin to see how Solomon began to talk about the love of God. And many times I share with a lot of people that even when you begin to read the book of Solomon, Song of Solomon, it is a very deep book, a book that we invite God to come and give us understanding as we begin to read the heart of Solomon as he begins to share about the love of God. And it takes us into a deep level of revelation about the love that God has for us when he begins to talk to various types of ways in which one has this love that God is talking about. But on today, we want to talk about and focus in on a little different aspect today. I want to focus in on the love that God has for us. And let's take a look at that on today. We recognize that he is the Lamb of God. Now, when we begin to go back all the way back, we see when Adam and Eve, they fell from their divine favor and realized their nakedness. And God provided a temporary remedy, and he introduced for the first time blood shed in the world. Now, Genesis 3:21 says, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skin and clothe them. Now, we do not know what animal were used, but blood had to be shed to provide covering for the transgressions of mankind. Now, we must recognize it, and we live in the day and time that you know, we don't hear much anymore about the wonderful work of Calvary and the blood being shed and what it really costs for us to be saved and transformed and converted. But it was through that blood, the blood that was shed over 2,000 years ago. And we need to hear, I understand about kingdom principles and blessed and highly favored. But if it wasn't for the blood, oh, shine that above, that was shedded over 2,000 years ago, where will we be even today? Now, I'm talking about, again, he was consumed in passion, and he did not pause. Now, let's look here. When we look at the fact about being consumed in passion, it means he had a strong feeling of excitement for something or about doing something. And he was just completely engulfed in it. And that's when you look at that word passion and consumed. In essence, the work that God was doing, the work of redemption and reconciliation and preparing that lamb, the Lamb of God for us, God was so consumed in that, and he was so excited about reconciling us back unto him. Let's look further. As I was saying again, let's look at the principle of the blood. Now, the blood, we don't hear it talk about a lot, the teaching on it, and we hear a lot about the kingdom principle, but this here is a vital aspect for our salvation as people of God. Now, the principle of the blood being the answer for sin is a constant and is constant throughout the Word of God. Now, the writer of the book of Hebrews uniquely summarized the concept when he wrote, and almost all things are purged by the law, are purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That's Hebrews 9 and 22. So no sin can be removed without the spilled blood. But blood spilled is really recognized as hard to be removed. Now, while some might question why God would use this plan, it should be sufficient to recognize that his sovereignty, that's what he decided to do, principle that transcends any particular age or even dispensation. Now, blood was spilled in the Garden of Eden. Blood was spilled when Noah exited the ark. Blood was spilled up under the Mosaic law in the tabernacle and then also in the temple. And at least once and for all, blood was spilled at Calvary to deal with mankind's sin permanently. Oh, my God. Shanda, hurrah, sheke, halalabo. Hold me, Holy Ghost. This is some good stuff. I tell you, you are going to be blessed. It was this purpose that Jesus Christ was born. He was born to be slaughtered. The scripture said over in Isaiah 53 and 7, it said he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, and so he opened not his mouth. Oh, that's what Isaiah began to look down through the generation and the lines of time to profoundly prophesy what our Lord and Savior was going to do. Now, this paradox is very striking. His death provided us life. His slaughter brought our safety. His blood purchased our salvation. Oh, my God. And throughout the Old Testament, we'll find a variety of animals being offered or sacrificial altars on these altars and even turtle doves. But no animal could more commonly associate with the sacrifice than that of a lamb. Now, at the dedication of the temple, Solomon offered up 120,000 sheep. In one setting alone, lambs could be used for a peace offering or trespass offering or a free will offering. But there could be no more prophetically significant offering of a lamb than the one killed on the night of the Passover in Egypt. Now, when God pronounced the death of the firstborn in Egypt as the final step in the liberation of his people from slavery, he instituted a process from the Hebrews to be safe from the plagues. And so he instituted, he told them they were to take a lamb for each family and to slay it and to paint his blood with hyssop on the lintel and on the two sides of the post of the door. Then all who stayed inside the house until morning were saved from the death and destruction. You find that over in Exodus 12, verses 21 to verse 23. Now, in the commemoration of that event, God commanded Israel to observe the Passover annually. Now, and we shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy son forever. And it shall come to pass when ye come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep his service. That's over in Exodus chapter number 12, verses number 24 and verse 25. Now, despite all the bloodshed and sacrifice, however, all the vast river of blood that spilled could not provide a lasting remedy for sin. Now, the ritual God ordained throughout the years, and specifically on the Day of Atonement, could never permanently blot out the record of man's sin or in mankind's sin. And that's the profound thing about the shedding of his blood. Now, let's look. They merely rolled them forward, putting them of a time of a judgment. They continued to depend on succession, annual repetition, until they could finally be dealt with once and for all. And we recognize when it was dealt with once and for all. Let's look further. No number of lambs could pay off the debt of sin. Now let's look a little deeper as we look at the ultimate sacrificial lamb. Now, I'm talking about, again, this consuming passion that God had for us that exudes through his son. Now, while the multitudes of sacrificial animals offered throughout the days of the Old Testament could not bring eternal redemption, they served to a point forward to the day when the perfect sacrifice would come. So it constantly pointed forward as to what was to come. Now let's look further here, that all of the annual Passover lambs were just mirrors of the Lamb of God that would one day be slain just before Passover. And we'll find that over in John chapter 19, verses number 14 through verse number 15. Now let's look further here and think. God's plan will find ultimate and complete fulfillment in the person of Jesus Christ. His purpose was made clear in the word of the angel to Joseph. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel appeared to Joseph and said, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Matthew chapter number 1, that's verse number 20 and verse number 21. Now, this Lamb of God would do more than simply provide a temporary reprieve. He would save his people from sin. Just as God required the Lamb in the Old Testament to be perfect, so also was Christ. He knew no sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin. And nor did he know any sin. Neither was there any guile found in his mouth. His perfection qualified him to purchase our salvation. He became what the vast quantity of animal sacrifice could never be, that perfect redemptive price for our sins. 1 Peter says, chapter number 1, verse 18 through verse 19 says, For as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, for your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot, and without blemish and without spot. Now, Jesus was not just another sacrifice. He was the ultimate and the final payment for the accumulation of the transgression of mankind. Can I say that again? Jesus was not just another sacrifice, but he was the ultimate. I'll say that again. He was the ultimate and the final payment for the accumulative transgression of mankind. In essence, that every sin of the world, amen, he was the ultimate price that was going to be paid for our eternal redemption. Now, oh, God, yeah, I feel the power of God, my, Lord, help me. Now, Jesus Christ willingly, he offered up his life in order to pay the price of redemption, and today continues to work the process of redemption in every willing life, everyone that will say yes to him, everyone that will say, Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior and my personal Savior, everyone that will yield unto that power. God spoke to me early today, and he told me, he said, Helen, there is blessings that I have given my people that they are not even using. And I tell you, this lesson is blessing my soul right now, and I pray that it's blessing you of the redemptive power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ over 2,000 years ago when he purchased our salvation on the cross of Calvary. That in and of itself is a profound blessing that was delivered unto the children of God. Whosoever will, let them come and receive of that wonderful, wonderful blessing. And now we're living above sin and reproach because of that blood that was shed. Oh, shine, cut a double shot. I hear the scripture saying, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting door, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He is our Lord. He is the King. He is the King of glory. And so we as the children of God, we can lift our head. We can call on that wonderful name because that still redemptive power is still yet alive and working in the lives of mankind today throughout every dispensation. Throughout every generation, that blood is still yet affected. Oh, come on, put your hands together and give God a praise. Oh, give him a praise. He's worthy of the praise, glory, and honor. Yes, yes, yes. He didn't pause. He didn't stop. When I begin to think about it and things, in the 19th chapter of Revelation, we see a preview of a grand and a glorious day. John gave us a glimpse into a special time when the Lamb and his bride will be united for collectively the church of Jesus Christ. We know that it comprised of the bride of Christ. Thus, even the chief purpose of life here involves making ourselves ready for our marriage to him there. There is no higher ambition in life than for us to ensue and begin to prepare our heart and to be a part of that supper with the Lamb himself as we await for his soon return and come back and to receive his children. But I want us to go back for just a moment and think in terms of what he did for us. Over 2,000 years ago, we recognize he could have called a legion of angels to bring him down off of the cross, amen. But he looked beyond our fault and seen every one of our needs. The Bible said that he despised the shame. Can you imagine our Lord upon the cross of Calvary? He despised the shame of being God himself upon the cross, dying for the sins of his people. He despised the shame of mockery. He despised the shame of the fact that they pulled his beard, they spit on him. He despised the shame of them being beaten, him being beaten and scorned before his enemy. He despised it all. Not only did he do that, but God said, Helen, he said, even the very one that was killing me, the very one that even lied and betrayed me, I was dying for their sin. Oh, my God. My God, my God. He was so consumed, completely consumed with passion and feeling for us that we wouldn't die in our sin, that he wouldn't leave us in the same condition that the first Adam caused mankind to come into. But he was so consumed with his love for his creation. He said, let us make man in our image. He looked at his own image and said, how can I let my image die? How can I let my image go to hell? How can I let my image die in that condition? And so he prepared himself a body. He got into that body suit, and he came down 42 generations. My God, my God. Oh, yes, he did. And yes, he did. He walked the face of the earth. He began to perform miracles. He began to raise the dead. He fed the hungry. He gave sight to the blind. He gave back even the dignity of women, amen, back unto them who was being accused. And he said, where are thy accuser? He healed those with the issues of blood. Oh, yes, he did. He was so consumed in that compassion that he had for us. And so I say to us today as the children of God, let us get consumed in the passion of our love for the Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Let us get so consumed in passion to do the blessed will of God that people will see our good work and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Let us be so consumed in love that it will bring someone out of darkness. Let our light so shine that they may see our good work and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Let us be so consumed with love and compassion in our heart for the love that God has provided for us on the cross of Calvary, that we would stand up and be the light and the salt in this world, that someone would say, I want what you have, because they see in us being a witness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us be so consumed like he was consumed in passion as he stayed on that cross. And when they pierced him in the side and forth came water and blood out of his side. Oh, my God, let us as never before, when we're being pierced in our side, when we're being talked about, when we're being rejected, when we're being cast down and perplexed in our mind, help us to be so consumed in God that all we can do is and be that witness and that example that because of the power that is exuding within our life, that we can stand and be the blessed witness that God is calling us to be. Just as he was consumed, let us be consumed in the power of his salvation. Let us be consumed in the anointing power of the Holy Ghost. Let us be consumed in the word of the Lord, because he said, put me in remembrance of my word. And I believe, child of God, that when we get consumed in compassion with the sincere love that we have for our Lord, that we will begin to speak to those things that are not as though they were. We'll begin to shift atmosphere because we're so consumed in the anointing, consumed in the power, consumed in the word, that every demon, hellbound demon, would tremble at the word of God. And because that word is abiding in you, and you abide in that word, the Bible said, ask anything that you will, and my Father will do it because his word is abiding in you. So, children of God, I've come to tell you on the day, it's time for us to get consumed in passion of the love that we have for our Father, that we have for his soul, that we have for the condition of his church, that we have for that his word to have preeminence and precourse in this earthly world, even during this time and this season. If we become so consumed in God and God being consumed in us, I believe that we will see change taking place because someone will be there to stand up and release God in the atmosphere, release the Holy Ghost to work, release the blood to be invoked, release that name to have preeminence, that every knee that shall bow and every tongue will confess, because someone stood up and released the name and proclaimed the name again and proclaimed his blood and proclaimed the power of the cross of Calvary. We got to get back to what that God has given and delivered unto the church. It's okay to have those words. It's okay to have these words. But when we lose and lost our way for the cross of Calvary, we lost it all, because that's where the power comes from through his word and the work that he done on the cross of Calvary. And so I encourage and admonish, and I behoove you, child of God, to get back in position, get back in the blood, get back up under the blood, get back in the word, cry out for the Holy Ghost, to cry out for the optimizing power that is in the word of God, that the Spirit of God will bring the option, and the Holy Ghost will do the work. Let us cry out and stare not, and get back on the wall, and speak to whatever is coming against you, and with the authority and power that God has delivered back unto the church, let the church restore her word and her voice back in the world as never before. And oh God, we thank him for your consuming power. I feel this special anointing that's in this even session now. I declare and decree, if you will open your heart right now, there will be a feast going on between you and the Savior. I declare if you open your mind right now, God will give you revelation knowledge. I declare if you open your spirit and let this word fall on good ground, there will be fruit from it. If you would just open your heart and backslider come home, wayward get back in the house of God, whoremonger put up your works and turn back around to God and give your heart back over to the Lord our God. Those that are playing in church, get straight and get right, because Jesus is on his way back. He's going to take the blood. He's going to take the name. He's going to take the word. It's not going to take your title and your position, but it's going to take the word and the blood and the name of Jesus. I hear the Bible saying that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous can run in it and be saved. And so we, as children of God, get back to the name, get back to the blood, get back to the cross of Calvary, get back to the authority of the word, get back to the things of God as never before. Jesus is on his way back, and he's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He's looking for a church, and he said, when I return, will I find faith? I come to tell you, we better stir our faith up as never before. Keep our faith in the word. Keep our faith in the blood. Keep our faith in the power of God. Keep our faith in the works of the Holy Ghost and the redemption work of God. Keep our hope in nothing less yes, than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Come on and shout hallelujah. My God, there's power in the name. There's power in the blood. There's power in his word. There is power in the Holy Ghost. So you to live above sin and reproach. There is power, dunamis power in his word. Come on and shout hallelujah to the Lamb of God. He was so consumed with love. He was so consumed in his mind, in his heart, that he looked on our form and he seen every one of our knees. He was so consumed with love. He looked beyond your lying tongue and gave you righteousness and put righteousness upon you. He looked on every one of your faults. Look at all of those chances you got. Look at all those opportunities to get it right over again. I'm talking about our Lord who was consumed in passion. I come to tell you that same consumption of passion, God is looking for it for his bride. He wants to know, will we be found looking when he comes? Will we hear the trumpet when it be sound? Or will we be looking up for our redemption drawing nigh? My God, come on out of that sun and put your feet back in the hither. Get back in the house of God. Get back in the prayer. Get back into the choir. Get back on your post as never before. And not only just get there, but get there with compassion. Get there with love. Get there and show them your love and your compassion. Come on and shout hallelujah. My God, I ask, Father, as we get ready to close this session, that you will bless everyone that is listening to this session with a supernatural igniting of fire down in their heart, down in their mind. Consume them with love. Consume them with a burning passion for the things of God. Let them have a consuming passion to get back in the word. Let them have a consuming passion to get back in Sunday school. Let them have a consuming passion to get back in Bible study. Let them have a consuming passion to get back to the things of God and doing it with their whole heart, mind, and soul. Not half-heartedly doing it, but doing it as unto you. Let them, oh God, put down the murmuring and complaining, God, and get back to the place where you have ordained for your people and those that's been in the fight. And those that's getting weary, Lord, I pray for a fresh wind to hit them, that you will undergird them, that you will fortify them, and will strengthen them. Expose every false prophet, expose every lying demon, expose every witchcraft, expose, Lord, the Leviathan, expose every root and tentacle, and every tool that the enemy using against your people. And God, thank you. Raise up the Lord, the warriors, the death dwellers, the prayer warriors. Let them get back on the wall as never before in the name. Raise up, Lord, the musician, hallelujah, that will play with skillful ears and skillful to hear you, that can bring in the prophetic, that can usher you in. Oh, God, raise up, Lord, even prayer. Praise team, the praise team will be prayed up, that know how to take your people into your presence. Oh God, the holy deacons, Lord, the teachers that are anointed with passion,
to be your people. Raise them up, oh God, with consuming passion, that they will not pause to look at the enemy, that they will not pause and get caught up in the world, that they will not pause to lose their sight of what God has called them to do. God, I pray for them that you will help today with fresh anointing. Those that are in the heat of the battle, Lord, let their Aaron and Urim get in their place and hold up the man and woman of God's hand. I pray, oh God, this day that you will do it, Lord, that Lord, they will be consumed with the assignment and not the title, that they will be consumed with the purpose and not, oh God, Father, outward showing, but Lord, let them be seen serving you and doing your blessed work and will. Confuse the adversary in the name of the Lord God. And God, we thank you because you are their righteous Savior. You're the Holy One of Israel. You got all power in the heart of your people. And God, we thank you. And God, we give you glory and we give you honor in the mighty name of Jesus. Encourage that woman, that even that first lady, encourage her heart in the name of Jesus and her children, God, in thy name, O Most High God. We know that you're able, and so, child of God, as the power of God is moving, you receive it all. I release it in your heart. I release it in your spirit. I release it in your soul. I release it in your mind. I release the anointing in your emotion in the name of Jesus. In your psychological man, I release it in the name. Father, eradicate every root and tentacle that's trying to bind your people and bind your church, God. We eradicate it in the name of Jesus as we invoke that name. My God, I declare you free. And I declare you to go free and do the work of the Lord. Now soar, child of God. Now run as ever before and do the work and the will of the Lord. Let go every grudge, every pain, and run with strength in the mighty name of Jesus. Shoto Rapa. Blessed be your name, God. We bless your name. Hallelujah, Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Ikoto Ramashara. O Robo Kosindine Kam. Oh, God, glory to the Lamb. Flow. Let this flow. Let this flow. Let this anointing flow, God. Flow throughout the universe. Flow throughout our being. Flow throughout our lives. Flow throughout, Lord, that which you've given to us. Flow. Let this anointing flow in the witty inventions. Let it flow in the business, Lord, that you have granted unto your people. Let it flow through life. Karaba, ikoroboka, new customers. Let it flow. Let it flow, God. I feel that flow. Let it flow into the life of your people. Let it flow, God. We thank you, Shuramakan. Ikoroboko shikerianda. Handoramashikeata. Orobo ramashike. Let it flow in the life of your people. God, meet every need. Let not a need go lack. Kotoramashanda.
There's a flow. Just get in that flow, child of God. Receive it all. This is your moment. This is your time. Just go on in and get it. You've been waiting for it. And this is your time of visitation, your divine visitation from the Lord. And don't even be denied. Go in and get it. Koto robaka. Ikando robaka shikete. Makoro boko shanda. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, for this anointing, God. We grab a hold of it, God. We embrace it, Lord. We consume and we receive it all, God, that we may do your blessed will as your people, the Lord. Lord, abide in it, Lord. And we thank you for that wave of it, God. We flow with it, God. Let this wave hit, God, the churches. Let it hit the man of God. Let it hit the woman of God. Let it hit the body of Christ. Let it hit the souls, God, that need to be saved. Awaken them and let it flow in, God. Let it flow in the lives of your people, God. And we thank you. Everlasting Father, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. Oh God, Ashanda, Koroboshi, Kitana Lamashi. Truly, we thank God for this lesson on today. We thank God for what He's doing. I just feel it's a heavy anointing. I want to encourage you, if you want to, you can go and go to our website and to look at our website. Sow a seed into this anointing. Sow a seed. Sow a seed. Go to our website and sow a seed in. If you need to get more information, just inbox me. I will give you that information. But go to our website and think Shekinah Glory Tabernacle.com or DrHelenOrm.com. Sow a seed. Amen. And God's going to bless you. Your information that will be on there, all you have to do is go. This anointing that is flowing, this oil that is flowing and dripping right now, it's an unusual anointing and being an uncommon anointing. Once you just go quickly and things and just say, Pastor, I want to sow that seed and things, call me, inbox me, go to the website, go to my PayPal, ShekinahGlory.com, at MSN.com, and sow that seed. You will be blessed. You will be blessed with a harvest. I know a harvest that will come unto you. Go and act now and sow it in now. I feel God saying a seed offering, a seed, and you are going to be blessed even greater. I don't do this. This is unusual because this is an uncommon anointing on this session right now. Sow into it and you watch God bless you in a mighty way. Until we meet again, call someone. Tell them to come and be on the listening to the Home Radio Blog Talk Show on Tuesday at 2 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, 4 o'clock Central Standard Time, 5 o'clock Eastern Central Eastern Time. And come and join and be thou blessed. May the blessings of the Lord be with you and add no sorrow. Until we meet again, as I always will say, even in my closing, if you don't have it, God got it. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. As I said, you're just one question away from that miracle. Just begin to ask. Sow that seed, and watch God bless you. In Jesus' name. God bless you until we meet again. Bye-bye.